Greetings and welcome to another edition of AUHSD Future Talks. I'm your host, Michael Matsuda, superintendent of the Anaheim Union High School District. And as our 7,000 plus podcast listeners know, this is dedicated to the future of education, not only for our 27,000 students, but students across the country. And we've been so blessed to have many inspirational leaders, from teachers and students to college presidents. And today we have someone very special, Tommy Chang, Dr. Chang, who is the current CEO of the new Teacher Center. Welcome to the show, Tommy.
It's great to be with you, Superintendent.
Yes, from one to another. And Tommy's had many hats, including the superintendent of Boston Public Schools. And there's so many entry points with someone like you, Tommy, who's really involved in a lot of things, not just education related. In fact, most superintendents, after they retire, and you're very young to be retired from superintendency, they go on to kind of the pasture of consulting. But instead, you've taken on a lot of big roles. So let's start with your current role as an head of the new Teacher Center. What is that all about?
So the new Teacher Center actually began as a center on the campus of UC Santa Cruz. The vision of our founder, Ellen Moore, was that every new teacher in Santa Cruz County, California, would be mentored. And she not only made that vision happen in Santa Cruz County, it became the model for the state of California. And over the last 20 years, this organization has reached school districts, almost 800 in 29 different states. Our goal is that we believe, in order for us to disrupt this educational inequities that exist, we have to accelerate educator effectiveness. And our work has primarily been in the teacher induction space, the teacher coaching space. We now are beginning to do more work directly with educators and also with system leaders, helping to think about the entire school system and how the entire school system improves teaching and learning.
So I became familiar with the new Teacher Center in Ellen Moore through the BITSA program. I was the BITSA director once upon a time, and so impressed with her thinking as well as your thinking regarding this. So now you're talking about systems change. In light of the fact that there is a decline in interest to become teachers across America, what is the main reason now that you, in terms of your marketing, why choose this profession?
Yeah, I would say ultimately, in order to create, to continue to ensure our society, our nation is a democratic nation, it is a diverse nation, that we've got to prepare the next generation of people to understand that solving problems in their community, solving problems in our nation, is ultimately the goal of education. And in order for us to solve these problems together, we actually have to be in community with each other. We have to be in relationship with each other. That's why for the new Teacher Center, we released a new point of view. It's called our Elephant in the Classroom. And our Elephant in the Classroom is grounded in three anchors. And the first of those anchors is like accepting the fact that teaching and learning is actually a dynamic relational human exchange. It is not about sage on the stage. It's not about communicating only content. It is about being in a relationship between a teacher and a student, and student and students solving problems in their communities. And I know that's so aligned with how you believe education, the purpose of education, what you believe in the purpose of, is the purpose of education. And then we also believe that once you embrace that teaching and learning is a dynamic relational human exchange, we have to expand the idea about who does teaching and learning. It's not just the classroom teacher, it's really a community. And then lastly, in order for us to sustain this change and this design, we have to do it in community. Like, we have to co-design. It's not just about the design process with just a few people, but with the entire community. And I know this is like so ingrained in the DNA of Anaheim. And so I just feel like there's a lot of alignment in terms of values between the new teacher center and your district.
But as you said, you're in 29 states across America. And I've, you know, been to a few of those states. And I definitely feel it in terms, not just from the superintendents, but from teachers and principals on the ground, that they feel attacked. Public schools, even charter schools, I mean, school in general, feel like they're being blamed for many of these problems it's a pandemic out there in terms of attack on education, on learning, on teaching and learning. And I think it's really been had an effect on turning young people off to teaching.
Yeah. No, I think we have to accept the fact that the political divisiveness has now impacted education in a way that I've never seen in my entire career. All this really just reinforces the importance of us going back to like, what is the purpose of education? It is to prepare young people to be prepared to solve problems in their communities and beyond. And like, that's a hard thing to argue against. And like, I hope the next generation of educators who come in understand that the field itself is going to evolve, is going to change. The way they may have learned, sitting in a classroom with 30 other of your peers, getting content from here, that's not going to look like this. And we needed a next generation educators to help us like change our current system. Like, without them, we're not going to be able to do so. So they're bringing in the fresh ideas. They're bringing in the new perspectives. And like, we need them to help inform the future of education.
I want to hear a little bit more about your journey to where you are now. Because it's very fascinating, your sort of life trajectory. Can you share a little bit of that with our audience?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You know, I stay in this field, and I've been in this field for my entire career as a classroom teacher, a principal, a school system leader, because I still believe that public education is the foundation for our nation. Like, public education has the potential to change life trajectories, not for only for some young people, for all young people. And so, you know, I came into the California public education system as an immigrant. I came to America without a word of English. And because of this public school system, I was able to like take on the greatest responsibility a human being could actually have, like leading a school system, actually leading the nation's first school system, Boston Public Schools. So like, that's my why. Like, I fundamentally believe in that. I'm also really grounded in my identity as an immigrant, an Asian American, as a person of color. Like, I believe that the world's greatness rests within the borders of our nation. Like, greatness abroad has come to this nation to help build a more perfect union. And it's our job as educators to sustain that cultural and that linguistic diversity, to celebrate differences, and actually to resist assimilation and sameness for the purposes of like being comfortable. I think that's really important. I also, I have to fight every single day still, even as a 48-year-old Asian American man, like, who served in leadership roles all across the country, like, I actually still have to fight this sort of programming to be compliant, even in sort of unjust circumstances. Like there's that Japanese proverb that a nail that sticks out gets hammered down. It's because our parents understood that our physical safety was primary. Our emotional safety was actually secondary. So like I fight that internal programming every single day. And then, I mean, the last thing I would say is like, we can't ignore that, you know, our entire schools, our entire education system is built upon an American system has created a caste system. Certain groups of people have been relocated to the bottom of this system historically, whether they're like Africans who have been enslaved, Chinese laborers, migrant farm workers, and that subjugation through laws and practices, they've had an effect on young people in our communities. But doesn't mean we can't fix it. And that's why like allyship is so important. That's why solidarity work is so important. And that's why I continue doing the work I do now at the New Future Center. That's why I serve on boards of nonprofit organizations. And that's why like I continue being in this space and talking about the importance of this work in a very public way.
You know, Tommy, you talk about the purpose of schools and that we should be more into addressing problems and getting kids involved in addressing those problems. What are some of the top problems and challenges facing Gen Z, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think for me, there's a number of issues that come up. Environment, mm-hmm. both locally and globally. More than ever before, we are experiencing how something that happens across the world is impacting us. I think we've made a lot of progress in closing economic disparities, but they still continue. We as a nation need to continue seeing this as like a North Star addressing economic disparity. And I would say all that happens through education. Like all that happens through young people understanding the problems in their communities and solving them. And but for me, like climate, economic disparities, and all that is tied to education are some of the things that we need to continue working on as a global society, not just a nation.
Mm-hmm. You know, you strongly identify as with, you know, as a BIPOC Asian Pacific American, as I do as well, I think. But what does that mean in light of the recent Supreme Court decision overturning affirmative action, where Asian Americans arguably are not really going to be hurt? There's an argument that it actually is empowering to the Asian American community.
Yeah, I think I would say that's unfortunately a very shallow way of seeing this issue. First of all, I just want to express, like, I'm personally very deeply disappointed in the decision. I think this court's majority has rejected 40 years of like precedence, has reinterpreted for the 14th Amendment, and a Congress 40 years ago that enacted the Civil Rights Act. I find it devastating. Yet I also believe this is one tool that is removed. There are other ways to ensure that colleges and universities in this nation reflect the racial, cultural, and linguistic identities of young people in our nation. This is not the end of the work. This is just means we just have to roll up our sleeves and work that much harder. I'm really actually proud of Asian Americans that have come out very publicly to say that we support race conscious decision, emissions decision making and policies, that this, the argument that was made by Students for Fair Emissions to claim that that's Asian Americans were unfairly like biased in emissions processing neglects the deep understanding that we've got large systemic issues that have to be addressed, and like we've actually need to be working in solidarity with each other on this. And other thing I get very frustrated with is that there's this over portrayal of Asian Americans who supported this lawsuit. And the reality is, like, there's some very clear polling data that shows that Asian Americans do support affirmative action policies designed to help Black people, women, other minorities gain better access to higher education. Now, AAPIdata.com has that data, and I encourage people to go and see, like, look, we're being painted as a monolith. That's just not the case.
Well, and especially when you start looking under the hood, too, in terms of tenured positions and even corporate America as well. As you know, there's a lot of data. And once you start disaggregating the API community, right, you look at Pacific Islanders and Southeast Asians, certainly arguably are very underrepresented.
Absolutely.
So, and there are a lot of institutional barriers out there. So let's move on to another big topic that I know that you're very concerned about, and that's what everybody's talking about right now is this notion of artificial intelligence and generative AI on education. What are your thoughts about that, Tommy?
Yeah, I think we are really in the beginning in understanding the power of this technology, and it's going to be a journey. When talking with educators, I would say the vast majority are either at, I have not experienced this personally myself, don't know what it is, to I've experienced it, unsure what to do with it, and I'm not going to touch it until I better understand it. Like, it's actually a pretty, in the education space, pretty narrow understanding. I hope that we all get smarter on this before we start making some policy decisions around it. I remember when Wikipedia first came out, people thought, oh, this is the end of education. It was not the end of education. I remember when we would say, no, looking at other students' work is considered cheating. No, looking at other students' work is actually a way for you to help develop your voice, for you to understand what good writing might look like. And so we are really in the beginning of a journey, that one that we should embrace may not be the right word yet, but just we have to be open to it. We have to be open to discussing and not just shutting this thing down.
Yeah, because there are some districts that have attempted to do that already, to firewall ChatGPT and other AI tools. And I think you and I are on the same page in terms of not necessarily embracing it, but trying to understand it, right? And creating teams of people that teachers on the front line to try to grasp what this means and in the technology. I mean, it's very powerful. It's another nuclear power, right? That can be used for good or not.
That's right.
And you know, I do want to jump in the few minutes we have remaining to the work that you're currently doing with your podcast and the purpose of that, and you know, what are some of the things that you're talking about, so we can share the podcast to our audience.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So the name of the podcast is called the Miseducation Podcast. It's a bit of a play on word. It is a podcast created by two friends and I. We created this podcast in the midst of the pandemic. And as like so many of us, the pandemic was a moment for of time that, you know, it feels so removed, yet like it's still impacting us today. it was a time for us to really reflect about what brought us joy. And one of the things that really brought us joy was being in community with each other, sharing our stories. We're all like mid-career educators. We all grew up in the 80s and 90s. And so we had a lot of connections, but we all have very different lived experiences. And so we wanted to grow the course of storytelling among the Asian American community. There's such richness, such complexity within our own community. And we want to share that broadly because I think too often the story of Asian America is told by others and it's a very narrow view. And so we interview friends and colleagues and people we meet in kind of this, in our journey, and we bring them in, we ask them to share their stories. We do it in a fun way. It's a very positive space. It's affirming. We use a lot of humor, but ultimately is to kind of dismantle stereotypes of Asian Americans as being a monolith. And so that's why we do it. And we are now up to like 28 episodes, and we've been doing it for about a year and a half.
That's awesome. Miss Education Podcast. So I invite our listeners to check that out. Tommy, what are your final words to our audience of young people or people who might be thinking about coming into education? There's so many entry points, you know. What's your advice to them?
Yeah, I would say, because so many of your audience members are your students, are your community in Anaheim, like Anaheim and Southern California as a whole really is America, but just earlier. That was something that a former mentor and boss of mine used to often say. And so you are a bright spot. The way you approach teaching and learning is a bright spot for our state and for our nation. And like, continue to inspire, like what young people in your district are doing and how they are putting their ideas out there, not just within your community, but really beyond, right? Like your young people are expressing their point of view, solving problems in their schools and their communities. Continue doing that, because that's ultimately what the purpose of education is. That's all we do all single day, right? Every day we're trying to figure out the problems that we are solving. Right? So continue doing that.
Well, Tommy, I really appreciate you as a thought partner. You are on a journey, a transformation of the entire world. I mean, I know you're a world traveler, and you are a person that I would hope our audience understands this about you, that you're a guy that is a big picture guy, but you're kind of like an Asian Obama or something. Like, you know, we'd love to just break bread with you, you know. You're that type of person. So I really, really appreciate the time on our show. Thanks again, Tommy.
Of course. That is very kind of you.